What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Dan Board Game Man with this week's Top 5 Express Board Games Edition. Now, each episode, I'll give you a topic for the list to give you my picks for the top 5 of those games. Today is part 3 of the different deck building games, the top 5 deck building games. Now, I started a few weeks ago with just straight deck building games. Then I went to bag building games, which is another sect of the deck building games. And today I'm going to give you the top 5 games that use deck building in a unique way or use deck building as part of a larger board game. Now, what is deck building? Now, once again, deck building is kind of like deck construction, but a little bit different. Now, deck construction is like Magic the Gathering and other CCGs, so I don't want you to confuse it with that. Deck building, to me, is a little better than deck construction because gets away from a lot of that agita where people kind of just feel like that if you're the best builder in the world, you're kind of lose. Now, deck building puts everybody more on an even playing field where you usually start off with a deck of, say, 10 to 12 cards, and everybody starts off with the same one. And throughout the game, you'll be adding cards to your deck to be able to play the game, whether it be a battle type game or just getting victory points or putting more things into your bag to make them a little more unique. Or today, putting different cards in your deck to get kind of your tableau or running your engine a little bit more efficiently. So what are some of the also-rans on the using deck building in a larger board game form? Well, the honorable mentions that I'm going to have to you today are another interesting thing is most of these games are going to kind of be heavier, either mid to way to heavier Euro games, because that's kind of who tends to use deck building in a larger way. So this is where you're going to see that a lot in some of these games. Now, the first one for an honorable mention is Great Western Trail. This was now, I believe it's Plan B owns this, the rights to this title, but it was originally put out by Stronghold Games. Great Western Trail, a little bit more of a medium to heavier weight Euro, which you're going throughout the land, trying to build up little parts of the railways. You're kind of using this whole circle mechanism where you've got to go almost, we call it passing go when you get to the end and you get to the kind of the railroad actions, but you're getting different things into your hand, different cattle cards into your hand, and also helping you to be able to kind of build up different parts of the cities and different roads. So it's a little bit heavier of a Euro, but it is an absolutely amazing game. Also, Mage Knight, which is more of a role-playing game where you're kind of adding cards to your deck to be a little bit better in battle and different actions throughout that game. Quest for El Dorado, now this uses deck building as kind of a racing aspect because you're trying to get from one side of the map to the other, and depending on which terrain that you're going to be on, that's going to determine the cards are going to determine how far you can get on different terrains. Rococo, which is a game about dress building, which may not excite many gamers, but man, it is so good because you're having different strengths of different actions, different strengths of the types of actions you can do with the different kind of sewing or building of the different things. It's actually pretty heavy for a Euro game, but it's amazing game. I highly recommend anybody check this one out. I believe it's R-O-C-O-C-O or R-O-C-C-O-C-O if you want to do a search for it out there. There's also Trains, which is kind of like Dominion, except it's Dominion with a board. So you're going to get cards into your deck that's going to help you to get your rails out. This one I kind of kept off because even though it just only has a board putting things out, I guess it still does kind of is one of the first games that kind of used a board was Trains in this way. And also there's Century Spice Road, in which you're using your different cards and you're kind of getting a nice hand of cards, and you're using the cards to get different spices and turning lower level spices into upper level spices, and then also turning those different spices in to get different contracts or fulfill different cards and getting points that way. So let's head into number 5 of the games that use deck building in more of a board game format. Now the number 5 is Princes of the Dragon Throne. Now to me, this really was one of the first games that ever really used deck building in a larger game. This game also uses kind of area control upon area control upon area control with those different cards. This plays in about 2 to 3 hours. It's a little bit heavier. And also the other bad thing is, and I hate doing this with different games, I hate putting these type of games on a list because it's kind of out of print and it's going to be really hard to find. I don't know, since it's been a while, and not sure if a lot of people play this game anymore, but I really, really loved it. Again, it came out in 2014, 2 to 4 players. This was made by Fred McKenzie and Clever Mojo Games. Now, this is part of Game Salute. Now, this is back when Game Salute was kind of churning out games like crazy. Some of the, you know, I don't want to fault the game for this, but some of the cards aren't the greatest stock. Some of the, you know, there's different types of production value in the game. You know, if you find somebody that had the full Kickstarter version that has the really good meeples or the dragon meeples to it, that's going to be one of the best copies that you can find. And it's really, really good. There may be people just looking to unload this game, so you might be able to find it. Again, it's on a medium to heavier weight side, but you're using, you're getting different dragons and princes into your hand, and they will do different things that they'll give you different resources throughout the game, whether it be sheep or other type of resources. And using those resources, you're going to go out and you're either putting your men on the board to get area control, or you're going to get other people into your deck. Now, they're going to be, you know, harder to get some into the deck, and there'll be stronger and stronger cards that you can get. There's over 100 different cards that you can get into your pool. And as your pool is going out, you're also going to be kind of pledging your allegiance to the different factions in the game, and that'll also give you different points or different powers. It's a really good game, and just kind of everyone's fighting to be the king of the land, because basically the whole theme is the king has passed away, and everyone, all the princes are trying to vie for the throne. Really good game. Man, I can't stress how much. This was one game that just never got its due in the community. It just, and it's probably because Game Salute has such a bad name throughout the years. And it's kind of coming around now, but they're under a new imprint. But Game Salute just had such a bad reputation that people just didn't really get on board with this one. But Fred McKenzie has done such a good job with this game. So I would at least see if you can find it in, you know, if you're at a convention and they might happen to have this one in their different collection in their library, maybe you check it out and play Princess of the Dragon Throne. My number 5. Number 4, we're sticking with a pretty heavyweight game here. This is by Cranio Creations. This is Newton. This one came out in 2018, 1 to 4 players. And I have played this one solo, and it is actually excellent solo as well. Plays in about, they say 90 minutes. I'm going to give it a 2 hour, because especially if you're going to learn the game, it's about 2 hour. And again, this is a heavier, kind of a heavier weight Euro. But once you learn it, and as I always say, speak the language of the game, it's not quite as heavy as when you look at it and you're looking at all these symbols and everything else. You're like, oh my God. So how does deck building fair? Well, you're going to have a hand of cards that when you're going to play a card for your round, and depending on how many other symbols you have with that card, you're going to do different actions. Now, throughout the game, you're going to be getting other cards into your deck. And every year, at the end of the year, you have to get rid of one card, which isn't so bad, because the symbol on a card will give you a permanent symbol of that type to help pump up your other actions. Now, you're going to be going throughout the land. You know, you're a scientist. You're trying to get, you know, become one of the great genius of the era. And you're trying to get, obviously, victory points. But the real thing that I want you to keep in mind is that you're taking your cards back each round, and you're going to adding cards to it and also having to get rid of one card. So you're kind of self-culling, but the different symbols on the newer cards mean newer and better actions. So whether you're moving your pawn throughout Europe to do different actions and to get different points there, or if you're going up through the other track, which is kind of more of a research track, and you're going to get different points throughout that as well. You know, they're going to come into hand. You know, the way you make your hand of cards is what's going to be very, very important. And that's why the deck building is so good. This is by Simone Luciani and Nestoria Mangon. Another great, great game. I highly recommend checking this one out. This one should still be in print. You should be able to get this one for about $50 out there. And that is Newton. Number 3, we're going to stick with Euro. But this now, all of a sudden, we've like almost chopped the heaviness in half. Valletta is my number 3. This is by Hans M. Gluck or Z-Man Games. This is by Stefan Dora, an amazing designer. This is 2 to 4 players, plays in about an hour. And again, this is a lighter to midweight Euro game. Now, the whole crux of this game is that you'll have a hand of cards with the different actions that you'll be doing. And there's also a bunch of different, you'll have in front of the tableau, kind of the board itself, even though I call it just a board, but you're really making the board up of cards. So it feels more like a board game than it does a card game. So there's different buildings that will be out there, or people that you can get, and you're putting, there's sets of people that are out there, whether it be a woodworker or an artisan or a crafters. But what you're doing is you're putting your little, as you're building, I call them building, but as you're kind of getting those people into your hand, or building the building on those where those people are, you're going to get those cards into your deck. And now your deck's going to be a little bit better. And you're going to be having to use your building cards and getting the resources that you've acquired through the card play that you're going to be using that throughout the card play is going to determine what actions and, you know, know how you can actually get those buildings into play. So this one I highly recommend. This is kind of another one that slipped under the radar of a lot of people, but man, it's pretty light and really is, it plays pretty quick with being that's kind of a super filler playing in an hour. And for what you get out of the hour gameplay, man, you can't do much better with the depth of play that you can get into there. And the fact that there's a lot more cards than there are that are needed in each one, and depending on the player count, you can play, it'll be different every time, and where they are located also determines different victory points and kind of how you're going to trigger other things in the game. So this is one I highly recommend. The only bad part is some of the blue cards. There are some take that cards. It's not really a heavy take that game, but if you have too many of those blue cards and one person runs away with them, it can feel a little bit bad because you're just constantly getting beat on by that one of the players that are using these blue cards. So you can kind of tailor that yourself when you're doing the random setup. Just take out a couple of those, take that cards in the blue setup. You can't really avoid it in a four player game because you're using almost every blue card and there's going to have to be some take that, but it's not really all that bad. I really am not a huge take that fan, but in this game, it doesn't feel all that bad. But again, that is Valetta by Z-Man Games or Hans M. Gluck that I really like that game. Number two, again, we're going to be sticking with your kind of straight deck building feel, but this does have a board where it has just pure area control with a board. Another one of the first really good deck building games, which felt like Dominion using a board for area control. This is Tyrants of the Underdark. This has that Dungeons and Dragons theme to it. This was put out by Gale Force 9. This is for 2 to 4 players. It was made by Peter Lee, Rodney Thompson, Andrew Veen. Rodney Thompson is the one that did Lords of Waterdeep. So, you got some good good pedigree there. So this is a game that's going to play in 60 minutes and is for 2 to 4 players. And as you're using the usual deck building, you're going to get cards into your hands that are going to get different pieces out onto the board. Now you can capture other basic pieces, you can capture some of your opponent's pieces, and you can put out different thieves and different types of pieces out there. But as you're playing, what's really cool is you can kind of cull cards that you either acquire or cards from your deck, and that's going to go under another pile, which will go towards victory points. Now it's really cool because it has such amazing art and a different things that you're going to do throughout the game. There's also extra decks that you can use in the base game, and there's also one expansion. I think, I'm not sure if they are planning on putting out any more, but there was one expansion that had either 2 or 3 new factions that you can use, and you're using a certain amount of factions in each one of the games. So you do have a ton of replayability there, but you're going to have the different minions into your deck, just going with straight deck build and use a certain amount per round. Really, really cool game. I really kind of like how they use the theme and use deck building onto another board. Really cool. That's Tyrants of the Underdark. And again, that came out in 2016. Should be able to find this one for about $50 as well. Now, the number one game that uses deck building as a part of a larger game, that's going to be Clank, the deck building adventure. That's going to be the Clank series because there's a few different things now. There's Clank Legacy, which is really cool and uses a legacy element when you play the game. There's your base Clank, which basically, in Clank, you're using the cards in your deck and adding cards to your deck. So you're going to be going throughout a dungeon and also battling some different cards. The cards themselves will either be cards that put into your deck or monsters that you can defeat. So you'll have either kind of movement, money, or attack are the different currencies in the game, and you'll be using those to do different things from that middle deck there. And anytime you do certain things, you're going to be using getting Clank into kind of a bag. So it also has a little bit of bag building to it as well. Now the Clank is basically the noise. So whenever you have, whether it be Clank in Space, regular Clank, or Clank Acquisition Incorporated, or Clank Legacy, you're going to be attacked at certain points by the big bad, which is usually like a dragon, or the aliens there. When they pull out your particular color out of the bag, you're going to be taking some damage, and that's not going to be great because you don't want to die in the game because you can be eliminated. It's usually a little bit harder, or it happens right at the end of the game, but it's still not something that you really want. So you have to avoid putting Clank out there or have cards in your deck that will remove some of the different other Clank to get into there. So again, the reason why this is so great is because it has dungeon exploration, it has deck building, getting cards in your hand, and also bag building. So we've got all three of the things come into number one of Clank here, but I want you really to just check out the base game Clank first, and then Clank in Space, which expands the whole map of it because you're really on a spaceship and there's a lot of different things to do there with the map. And also then you can come back to Clank Legacy. Oh man, that's so cool to just play over a different round, different years of the game, and kind of change the game in a legacy style, expanding what you can do in the game itself. So that is Clank, a deck building adventure, and the series of it. which is excellent. This is made by, again, Renegade Game Studio, and the original designer is Paul Denon. Man, just check this one out. I highly recommend you pick this one up. Again, you can probably get this one for $40 to $50. There's a couple of expansions for each one of those, and that's Clank, C-L-A-N-K, with an exclamation point. So, you know, it's got to be better. It has an exclamation point. Anyway, my top five games for using deck building as part of a big game: Princess of the Dragon Throne, number 5, number 4, Newton, number 3, Valletta, number 2, Tyrants of the Underdark, and number 1 is Clank. Thanks for joining me this week on Top 5 Express Board Games Edition. If you got any questions, let me know on Twitter, or tell me what deck building games, or deck building, or bag building, or deck building as a car, a board game. Just let me know what you love. You can find me on Twitter at GeekJockBlog, or you can just go ahead and comment on this episode on MajorSpoilers.com, or just go to the site for tons of great other podcasts by Steven and the rest of the Major Spoilers crew. As I said, I'm Dan Dan, a board game man. You can find me at GeekJockBlog on Twitter, or the Geek All Stars podcast, or as a contributor to TMSPM, where I do a board game segment with Scott and Brian. I'll be back in a few weeks with another Top 5 Express list. But until then, hey, grab a game, a deck building game or bag building game, and have some fun with your family and friends.
This podcast is copyright 2020 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.